Ah, New York, the land of no bathrooms. Is that my podcast voice now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely your podcast voice.
I guess that makes sense. So why would I talk this loud if it's just me and you walking down the street? That'd be weird, right?
Then why would you pretend to be happy?
You'd be like, hey, Ian, how are you?
You could stand to do that once or twice.
Really?
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny. I like loud, obnoxious people who put on a character sometimes.
Yeah.
But I like you.
But I don't do that.
Yeah, but you do it, you know, on the internet.
I think it's mildly offensive that if I'm not being a silly fake jackass, that you think I'm not happy. So anyway, land of no bathrooms. I gotta pee, but there's no bathroom. So we're walking to the museum, and I'm just kind of to take my mind off the fact that I need to pee. So I'm talking to myself. Like a happy dude, look at me! I'm dancing around! This is how I should be all the time, because this makes sense, right? Oh, look at this!
Oh man!
I'm walking on a thing. I don't even know how to describe it. Anyway.
You're straddling a guardrail around a nice little plant area?
Yeah.
While sensible people walked by?
They're not having fun.
They're not having a good time.
What a bunch of douchebags. That's what I decided that your cats should be named.
Douchebags?
General Douchimo and General Douchimo II. These fucking cats woke me up like 4 times last night. As soon as I'd fall asleep, they'd start crawling across the bed and, like, stick claws into me.
You know, that's funny because they stopped doing it to me. Like, for the last couple days, they'd cuddle, but they stopped digging their nails into me. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they were like, who the fuck is this guy?
Maybe.
Hey, that's my warm spot.
And, I don't know, maybe I need to wash my hair more because the one of them was, like, obsessed with sniffing my head. So I guess it smelled good to a cat.
It smells good to me, too.
Oh, well, good.
But I like stinky things.
Well, does my head smell like cheese?
No, it smells sweet, like almond oil.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
I like your head.
So, let's imaginarily listen to some Mother Mother, because it'll be in the show, but we can't really hear it. So, this band is super duper 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 great. And I heard them through my friend Brad. He saw them live, and he gave me a copy of their album. And I listened to it approximately a million times last year. It's super awesome.
You were listening to it while we were having sex earlier today.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it just happened to be on. It's not like I was like, wait, hold on.
You put it on right before we started having sex.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't know we were gonna.
Really?
Where was I? See, that's distracting. That did take my mind off having to pee a little bit, so that's good. Yeah, so they put out a new album in September, and I didn't even know. I just found out the other day. And I don't know, this band just seems weirdly, unfairly obscure to me, where, like, they're, I don't know, it's Canada. It's like, how hard is it to be known in Canada? It seems like they should be more well-known, because they're on the same record label as other bands that are well-known, the New Pornographers and Metric and Death From Above 1979. But Mother Mother hasn't busted through yet. And I hope they do, because I think they deserve maybe not to be famous, but Canada famous for sure.
Canada famous.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, like Canada famous, I think it's a pretty good famous. It's a pretty comfortable famous. Sloan is Canada famous. Tragically Hip is Canada famous. They're doing all right. So yeah, I think Mother Mother easily deserves that. Yeah, I don't know. So let's, okay, right, so here's what I was going to play. Is like Brad was telling me how the album didn't really do justice to the live show. And to illustrate that, this is a little clip I got from YouTube of them doing their new single, Oh My Heart, busking style. And it's super great. Ian's crying.
The wind makes, the cold makes me cry.
Right.
I can't even think right now. Tears running down my face. I've used it to my advantage. Before you walk down the street and you got tears running down your eyes, people are like, are you okay? No! And then you have someone to cry on for a little while.
Really? That's sad and manipulative. You really do that?
I did it once.
Okay, I'll give you once. Once is okay. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at me. I'm walking on a fucking thing.
You do realize we're on the Upper East Side and you're going to get shot.
I don't know what that even means.
It means there's a lot of rich hoity-toity assholes around here. They're not going to shoot you because that would require them to have guns.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be more your neighborhood?
Yeah, yes. But here, they'll just get their doorman to come out and say some stern words to you in an embarrassing tone.
Well, I'll just tell them, I'm just living life, man. I'm just being happy. That's all. I'm just expressing myself. Holy fuck, that's a little cold. Brr. All right, let's get to some music then to warm up the listeners, because I bet they can somehow feel the cold through the internet.
Can we note that this song, well, after we listen to it, I'll note that.
No, go ahead. Note away.
This song has a really great structure that you can just plug in any lyrics you want. Like, that's anything true. That's going on in your life. Keith and I were doing this earlier today.
Yeah, it's true. You really can.
There's a blue man on the street side. There's a black man with tools.
Yeah, that's right. The van song.
The van song. That one.
Yeah, so this little busking thing, it's just the main guy singing and playing guitar, and then the two chicks harmonizing along with them. And I was really saying how I think this is how unplugged performances should be, just busking. Who can busk and still be a good band? Because this sounds super great. No fucking auto-tune for this band, that's for sure. So I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to play Burning Pile, the second song on the new album, because so far it's my favorite one, but I haven't really given the whole album a fair listen yet. So there might be others. All right, let's listen to that music.
My heart.
So we just walked by one of those little vendor dudes, and I don't think he's still selling them, but he's still got the sign up for all of his frozen treats. And I'm willing to bet that sales are down.
That jack-off selling ice cream in the park. See? It works so well.
It does, for anything.
I bet no one wants his ice cream in their mouth, because it's cold out.
Yeah, I can't argue. I don't know what could I do.
We just talk about everyone. There's a little dog with a sweater on.
Here's a bench. I bet I could jerk off on it. That doesn't really make sense.
I mean, but you raise a good point. There's probably a lot of things you could jerk off on.
Little dog would fit right on my dick. It all kind of goes that way for me. And I shoot my cum onto a doggy's face. And I... Little cat won't fit on my cock yet.
Yet.
It's got to eat its formula.
Captain Douchebagamo won't lick my balls. Wait. Fuck that one up.
See, we could busk.
We could busk. I bet we could get $4 whole.
Play some songs from a song from Australia now. Who do you think of when you think of Australia?
Because I've been hanging out with you, the name Smudge comes to mind, though I've never heard their music.
Neither has anyone from Australia. No one I've ever known actually knows that band. Killing my darling, you are my sunshine.
Australia, I think of, what was that band of 16-year-olds with the lead singer was anorexic?
That was Silverchair.
Silverchair, thank you.
That band was awesome. I remember when that album came out. Actually, I should play a Silverchair song, too. Just how it was just crazy because they were all, like, my age. But they were...
rocking.
Yeah, and I mean, it was, like, a pretty standard-y grunge-era album in some ways, but it was good. It's like, I think people underestimate how hard it really is to write a catchy album from top to bottom, because if it was easy, everyone would do it. And everyone doesn't do it.
What was their song?
Tomorrow is this big single.
Yeah.
You got a leg to fat boy. Fat boy.
Oh, fat boy.
Where till tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
no
exactly
wonder he was
how
anorexic.
He sounds.
Do you think somebody called him a fat boy when he was a kid?
Maybe. Did I sound just like Daniel Johns there? I think I did. But, no, it was a really catchy album. That thing was great. And, let's see, who else? We got the AC/DC, Midnight Oil.
Were they Australian? Are they Australian?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's offensive to Australians, if they're not. Unsuspecting brother doesn't know what to do when everything just falls to the Anyway, who I'm going to play is... Oh, that's too bad. I can't remember the name of the band. That hurts my introduction a little bit. This is a song, though, that Brian Ward sent me when I was doing one of my Mopey podcasts. So he sent me this song called You're Not the Only One Who Feels This Way. And he's like, you might like this song, mate. And I listened to it and I liked it. And I was like, man, that totally sounds like, reminds me of the days of the early 90s. It sounds like one of those things. So I looked up this band and they were
totally from the early 90s.
Yeah, this song's from like 93 or something. So I was like, well, that explains that. But it's really good. Really catchy little tune. Although I don't remember what the band's called. So let's play that and then I'll play a Silverchair song too. Just because from their first album. Because it was cool. I liked too how Silverchair, being kids at the time, like they had like a corn sticker on the guy had a corn sticker on his guitar. Like he was also into the same bands that we were all into at the time. You know, it's just cool. Like for a band to just be like, hey, I like this other band. You never really see that.
You know what I always think of when I when you say think of Silverchair, or now that I'm thinking of Silverchair, what I'm thinking of, right. That song that was like, do you wanna die? Dun, 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 dun. You know that one?
I don't know. Was that later?
No, it was about the same time period. We'll look it up. We should play it.
Well, yeah, can you sing me some more of it? Maybe.
Do you wanna die? Behind the lake tonight.
Oh, is that?
I'll make you beautiful. Something like that.
So I don't know. Yeah, it must have been. I only know the first two albums really well. So
that wasn't
been...
Silverchair, though.
Oh.
That was a different band.
Well, okay.
That just came out around the same time.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is. Okay, we'll look it up. And maybe we'll play that.
Okay.
Cool.
Early 90s. What?
Thank you. Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight. By my side. Gentlemen, behind the boathouse, I'll show you my dark secret. I'm not gonna lie, I want you for mine.
One random thing, Silverchair, I was just thinking of, is just different weird accents. Like, they have a song on their first album called Pure Massacre. And I remember I saw an interview with them on Much Music where it's Canadian, so half the people are French, where the chick was asking them about, can you tell me about this song, Pure Massacre? And then they're like, well, the song Pure Massacre. So nobody could say it right. I just think that's great. Pure Massacre. Well, that's like, I just thought this was weird, too, to reference Old Man Ward again. He was saying on his podcast, since he grew up in Canada till he was like 4, his accent's a little off. And he said people would kind of mention it to him. Like, sometimes he says can't instead of can't. And I was like, really? They think it's weird if you don't say can't? But I guess if we said can't, that would seem really weird if you just threw that in in a sentence. But everything else sounded American. So I guess it's the same if you're Australian and you suddenly throw a can't in there. That probably does sound very odd.
Yeah.
I should have thought of what song I was going to play before I started rambling. So it's bright and sunny and cold out. How does that make sense? I bet it doesn't do that in Florida.
No, it never does. But you know what it does do down in Florida?
What does it do?
It rains while the sun's out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it rains really hard and the sun is still shining. So it's bright and shiny and wet.
Man, that must be nice. How cold is the rain?
Not cold at all. Like,
that's
what I hate about New York here is like when it rains, I can't run outside and go play in it because it's fucking cold rain. But like down south, it rains. You're like, score, sky shower. And then you put on your bathing suit and you go run outside and you go dance around.
That sounds fucking sweet.
It is really nice. It is really, really nice. And especially when the sun's shining and it's raining. You know, that's just like a gift.
So you ever heard of a band called Tiger Army?
No.
Let's listen to some Tiger Army. I remember it was one of the early conversations we had. I don't know, we were just rambling about shit. But it came up about psychobilly music. I just remember I was telling you what psychobilly is.
Yeah.
That it's basically rockabilly. The upright basses and the greaser haircuts and the big fucking chops. But also skeletons. Yeah, exactly. Apparently the classic fucking view or image that I think the Necromantics, this was one of their things on an album, Inlay or something, is you're in the cemetery at night and there's the mist everywhere, you know, and it's like fucking Thriller or something, and then the zombie comes up out of the earth and starts coming towards you, and then he pulls out his comb and combs back his pompadour and takes his cigarettes out of his like fucking, you know, his white tee, out of the sleeve of his white tee, and you're terrified and think it's awesome all at the same time.
And then he busts out his upright bass.
Yeah. And it just seems like such a stupid movement, but it's so awesome. Just because, like, rockabilly music was rollicking good times, you know? Like, that was the shit back in the 50s. And I don't know, I think that's one thing I always liked about punk music in general, particularly before this emo shit, is you could not have a downbeat punk song, like a depressed punk song. It's, like, impossible. And rockabilly even more so, or psychobilly, because it's just, like, it's just
fucking...
I don't know,
there's punk music that bummed me out, because it was, like, all about how everything sucks and the government is fucking us over. But you're right, it always was like, but we're going to still keep loving
it. Yeah, we're going to rise above, we're going to rise above. So, Tiger Army, though, I always like this guy, but all I haven't really heard his new album. I don't know. Maybe this is from one of his old albums. This is, let's play two songs. I'm going to play Fog Surrounds, because it's just cool. And I don't really know what it's about. Fog surrounding him, I guess. And then this song, Incorporeal, it's the first song I ever heard by them.
Incorporeal?
Yeah, that's how he says it. Incorporeal! Incorporeal, isn't that how you say it?
Incorporeal. Wait, incorporeal. I don't remember now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. And this is about a guy who died, but his eternal spirit never went to heaven, never went to hell. It just wanders the earth, and it can't interact with anyone in any way, and it's just been thousands and thousands of years of just this pointless existence. And yet, even after all this time, he can still just barely remember the girl he used to be in love with back when he was alive. He wishes he could forget, but he can never totally forget. Spooky, huh? Doesn't it just make you want to grab an upright bass and bong 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 bong?
Can you hear me?
Youth. I want to see you game, boys. I want to see you brave and manly. I also want to see you gentle and tender. Okay. Be practical as well as generous in your ideals. Keep your eyes on the stars and keep your feet on the ground. Courage, hard work, self-mastery, and intelligent effort are all essential to a successful life. Character in the long run is the decisive factor in the life of an individual and of a nation's alike.
Yeah, that sounds a little gay to me.
Yeah, that was Theodore Roosevelt's introduction to his first gay porn.
And of all the miscellaneous historical quotes to fucking emblazon upon a wall, yeah. What's so special about that one? I don't know, I don't get it.
Well, okay, Theodore Roosevelt was the first president who was like, maybe we should not be just burning down forests willy-nilly. Maybe we should set some of these aside so that we can have national parks. Wasn't he?
I don't know. Was he the one that they suspect used to dress up in ladies' clothing? Or is that Grover Cleveland? Or was he a Supreme Court Justice? I can't keep track of all your cross-dressing.
No, it was the CIA, the head of the CIA. What was his name? He was an old, ugly, fat man, too.
Oh.
Anyways, that was like the CIA director in the 60s. Theodore Roosevelt was like in the 30s. He liked to hunt bears and go to Yellowstone.
Oh, that's why I know that guy. Yeah, isn't there like a fucking statue of him in the park?
Yeah.
Riding a horse or some shit?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. He's the manly president. I remember that now.
A manly president.
Apparently he likes when people kept their eyes on the stars and the feet on the ground, because this is only going to hurt for a second, boy.
He also had a killer mustache.
Yeah, that's right. And he wore that hat with the brim thing. It looks like an Aussie hat. So this is an extremely long line today. I've never been here on a weekend. It's fucking packed full of people.
It really is. I mean, I really still want to go, but if this line takes too much longer.
Well, we've been here this long. I mean, I think we're in for a penny and for a pound now. But while we're waiting in line, there's this song that I have no idea how I heard this song. I don't know where I got it from. I don't even know what the band is called. And I don't even love it. I love one third of it. It's got elements of this song are really great. And I just don't remember where I heard it, like why I downloaded it. I have no idea. It's just sitting in my ham radio folder, and I don't even know where it came from or what it is. So let's listen to that.
Do you know the name of it? No.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's just my mystery song. And I'm like, where did that come from? And I keep hoping it'll come back to me, and it never does. So it's never going to. For Theo. This one's for Theo.
For Theo.
Mystery song. Into the museum now, and I just like to point out my little museum thing I like to do, because I remember the first time I was here with Spooky when he lost his knife. He paid the full price, so he paid $20 to lose a knife. Sort of sucked. But then I remember the next time I was at a museum, it just was like, you know, you don't have to pay the full amount, but I just felt weird and awkward about it, where they were like, suggested donation, you know, $15, and I was like, how about $5? You know, like I'm bartering with them. And of course, you know, they're not going to be like, no, they don't care. But it just made me feel like a weird grifter. So then I came up with the, I would like to donate. You know, they're like, $15 suggested donation. I'd like to donate $5. Because then I feel like I'm still giving them money, not like I'm being a cheapskate. I like it. So now we're in the museum. You will get no guided tour from us. You'll just have to come on your own. Although I'm looking at a lion right now that's stuffed and dead.
I didn't really realize that it was just full of stuffed dead animals.
Have you never been here?
Not in this part. No.
The dinosaur floor is my favorite.
Where's that?
Fourth floor, I think.
Do you want to go to that first?
Sure. And the whale room is cool. We'll find that at some point.
I mean, I like the elephants. Don't get me wrong.
If you go on my YouTube page, you can see me walk around through the dinosaur part and talk to myself. And
it's like looking at these dead animals. Like, it's just like, why'd you make them dead?
Well, they were going to die someday.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I guess it's better than pictures, but it still feels a little strange.
Ooh, tusks. Think of those glory days when you could just fucking hunt a giant elephant.
Are you allowed to touch him?
I guess. I don't know. So what are these from? This thing is big. The magnificent pair of tusks.
I touched it.
Ooh, was found with skull between Voi and Athi rivers in Africa, 1937. See, so they found this in a big skull, so that's not so bad.
Well, that's good. They didn't kill somebody for it. They're 169 pounds.
See, that's weird. Like, I was saying how the whale, the blue whale in the whale room, they say that it's the biggest mammal to ever exist. Maybe that's it. Do dinosaurs
biggest
not count
mammal.
As mammals?
No.
Okay, because I was like, there's no way that, like, I could have sworn dinosaurs are bigger, and this tusk is giant. It's taller than me, so this thing must have been huge. Okay, so that makes sense, because, that whale thing downscaled all dinosaurs in my brain. I was like, maybe the dinosaurs weren't as big as I thought.
No.
And it was disappointing. Well, good. Nice. Dinosaurs are big again. Yay.
I just like to point out that little kid has the light-up shoes, and I fucking love those.
Those are cool.
Like, I always wanted a pair when I was a kid. I never got a pair.
Although I really think the shoes with the little wheels in them are my favorite.
Those are the best. Yeah. I wish they made those in adult sizes.
The first time I ever saw one of those was in a mall in London, Ontario, and I was just, like, sitting there, I don't know, waiting for something or waiting for somebody, and this kid just slid by, like, just like magic, and I was just, like, rubbed my eyes, like, did I just see that? Am I dreaming? And then I figured out that they had little wheels on their shoes, like Go-Go Gadget shoes, and it was like, but I knew I would never be able to wear them because I'm a grown-up, and I was sad.
Hey, no, one time I was at a gallery opening in Chelsea, and there was some dude who was, like, wearing the full mid-90s raver plumage, like the big pants, the wacky colored neon shirt, all the candy, and he was just zipping along through all the...
Well, you see, though, how there's a lot going on in that outfit besides just the shoes.
Yeah,
and isn't
true.
Chelsea full of fagools?
Yes.
Yeah, so I still don't think I can get away with the shoes.
That dude probably had great drugs, though.
So we're looking at creepy African masks. And, I guess, I don't know, I'm just reading the thing here of the different types of mask. The mask for awe, the mask for respect, the mask for humor, you know, like the different masks. And in my lowbrow, 21st century white male upbringing, this of course makes me think of Slipknot.
Hey, it was kind of the same idea, because we're reading here, it's saying the mask allowed them to be something greater than themselves. They weren't just an individual, they were representing an ancestral spirit or a larger idea. That way, if you put on the mask, it wasn't you that was judging this person, it was the spirits in general.
Right.
Slipknot is trying to represent the, you know, universal concretes of whatever the fuck they stand for.
Well, even they do have, like, not all the Slipknot masks are scary. Like, I thought it was funny how they've got, like, they mentioned the humor masks. Like, Slipknot's got the clown guy, who's like a clown, scary clown, I guess, but he's got a big red nose, and then there's the guy with the long nose,
yeah,
long,
the, like,
skinny nose,
thing.
And he, like, masturbates it, and it flops around, you know, like, he's not the most serious, scary dude, but then some of them are, like, hyper creepy. Like, man, the new mask that Corey has, the singer, for the fourth album, it just looks like he's, like, just a burn victim. Like, it's just all weird with these weird, it's very nondescript, but it's very weird and creepy looking. It really just looks like what your face looks like after you've had acid poured on you or something. Like, your features are just kind of gone. You have these weird looking eyes, and it's weird because usually his mask specifically is, like, way more horror movie-ish. This one is so subdued, but it was a cool move. Anyway. Masks. Yeah, and I remember they said when, because that band's been around for a while and it wasn't really going anywhere, when they got the idea to put on the what do you call those?
Not
jumpsuits, is that it? Yeah, like grease monkey suits, whatever, like, and the masks that they all felt really stupid at first, you know, playing with their masks on and stuff. But then once you get into it, now at this point, you know, they play in huge stadiums in front of people, and you can just be fucking retarded in a way that you normally couldn't be. Like, the clown guy, he really doesn't have a job in the band. He kind of once in a while will hit a big drum with a piece of metal, you know, but he's really just there to fuck around and to hit the other people in the band and smash into them and be a wacky weirdo. I don't really know what my point is. Anyway, so I'm going to play a Slipknot song from their third album, which was, I listened to it a lot. I was surprised how much I was into it, because Slipknot, for being a jokey type masked band, they're really good at what they do. Like, I haven't really listened to the fourth album yet, but the first three were all really different. The first one was more of like the rap metal shit that was big at the time. And then the second one, I think they were rebelling against the idea that they were like a joke band. So it was like super heavy, like just hardcore, like ridiculous, just like almost hard to listen to. And then the third one was almost like, had like speed metal shit in it. It was like going back to the Slayer days. And that's what I'm going to play. I'm going to play, what's that song called? It's the first single. Shit.
I don't know Slipknot from anyone, so.
Starts with a D, I think.
Dick.
No.
Doo-doo hole.
Maybe it'll come back to me. Anyway, Duality, it's called.
Oh, that's close.
And whenever the song would come on the rock station in Vancouver, it always kind of stood out because it's significantly louder than everything else they played. But I'm also going to play... why was I thinking of this? Oh, I was thinking of this because I don't know why I bring up Brian Ward so much these days, but...
Because you love him.
Apparently. But
when I was babies.
There's a band called Carnivool that he likes a lot, and they're like the heavier band, and then the singer is also in another band called Birds of Tokyo, and they're the more mainstreamy band. And it's not as severe a change as it is with Slipknot, but the same thing with Slipknot. The Slipknot singer is also in Stone Sour.
Hey, look, the Nazi symbol.
Well, it wasn't a Nazi symbol to start.
I know.
It's the symbol of, like, life or some shit. Like, if, what's that Japanese comic called? Blade of the Immortal. The guy's got a swastika on his back, or it might be an inverted one. Anyway, and it caused some controversy by people that don't know their fucking history.
No, like, I know that it is. It's just still striking.
Yeah, I'm not saying you don't. But, so this other band that he's in, his wussy band, that plays radio-friendly songs, Stone Sour, they have a song called Through Glass. And we're looking at things through glass.
Okay.
Get it? So let's play that, too. I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know why you love to kill Jews. I don't think that's very cool to do. No one ever had a I'm a good singer, right?
Your breath smells really good.
Well, good. I guess at least I got that. So let's listen to Slipknot and then Stone Sour. Heavy and angry and then wussy and light.
I push my fingers into my veins. It's the only thing that slowly stops the ache. But it's made of all the things I have to take. We'll be right back.
looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. All I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. How do you feel? That is the question. But I forget you don't expect an easy answer. When something like a soul becomes initialized and folded up like paper dolls and little notes, you can't expect a bit of hope. So while you're outside looking in, describing what you see, remember what you're staring at is me. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. All I know is that it feels like forever. No one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. How much is real? So much to question. An epidemic of the mannequins contaminating everything we thought came from the heart. We never did right from the start. Just listen to the noises. Before you tell yourself it's just a different scene, remember it's just different from what you've seen. I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. And all I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. And all I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. And it's the stars, the stars. I'm shining. Time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. Cause I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. All I know is that it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. And it's the stars, the stars that shine for you, yeah. And it's the stars, the stars.
Stodon, an armored mammal from the olden days.
He lives in South America and he always does a lot of cocaine.
How did that go? Like, how many hours did they sleep?
They sleep 18 hours, but they always party 24.
Sloth!
Yeah, we saw a sloth. an old-timey giant armored sloth.
Giant.
So now I gotta play that song.
This thing is super slow. Can you imagine? Look how big it is. It's like 12 feet tall. Had to have weighed several tons.
Do you think we could outrun it?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Although it'd probably just fall out of a tree at a well-timed time.
Does cocaine off America's tombstone.
Hire a dog to burn down a hospital.
And now, a message from the Staten Island Zoo.
Greetings, wildlife enthusiasts. My name is Karen Donnelly, and today I'd like to talk about some very special animals that don't get much attention. Sloths. They're furry, they have two or three toes, and yes, they're very, very slow. Luckily, we just received a brand new documentary on these adorable creatures from a group of students at Staten Island Technical High School. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's a real eye-opener. Let's check it out.
Sloth! 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 We sleep 18 hours, but we always party 24.
Packed in packs, and we eat algae up our fur.
Sloth! 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 Sloth!
Your face in a punch fight.
Sloth, 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 sloth.
Eat bamboo, but prefer your girl.
Shake your run with a pterodactyl bone.
Sloth, 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 sloth.
Hire a dog to burn down a hospital.
Eat cocaine off America's gravestone.
Sloth, sloth.
Don't call us slow, don't call us slow.
That's not entirely accurate.
This has been a message from the Staten Island Zoo.
So after the giant sloth, we saw this enormous old-timey armadillo. And that immediately made me think of Tom Green's old band. Most people just know Tom Green as the Tom Green we all know and I love and everyone else apparently hates. But he was in this band called Organized Rhyme with two other guys before he was Tom Green back in the early 90s. And he won a Juno Award. That's like, what are your music? Grammys?
Grammys.
That's like the Grammys, but for Canada.
Well, how cute. You guys have your own
awards.
Awards for music.
And that's how worthless they are, is that Tom Green's band was nominated for a Juno Award for Best Rap Group.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so,
well.
Their song Armadillo sucks balls. I'm not going to play that song. But they have a song called Paper Cuts from way back in the day. I hope I can even. I used to have this CD, but I don't know if I can even find this fucking shit. But if I can find it, I'll put it on. But you got some armadillo tales from Florida, right? Was that you telling me armadillos are Florida speed bumps? Or was that spooky?
No, that's probably spooky, but I mean, that is kind of true. There's tons of armadillos. You don't touch them because they all have leprosy.
Really?
Yeah. At least that's what I was always told, that you never touch an armadillo because they all have leprosy.
You can catch leprosy? I don't know anything about leprosy.
I never really thought about it that hard. I just didn't touch armadillos.
Okay.
But yeah, you can throw rocks at them and then they just... Sometimes they curl up into a ball, sometimes they scurry away.
Well, what I heard, and it must have been from Spooky, I guess, is that they jump when they're scared.
Huh.
So if you do hit them with your car, they're going to jump instinctively and fuck up your undercarriage. And they will die, but your car is probably going to be in trouble. So just don't hit armadillos.
Yeah, there was a joke in Florida. It's not a funny joke, but it was like, why'd the chicken cross the road to show the armadillo it could be done? Because people hit armadillos a lot. I know.
Oh,
hilarious.
That's funnier than a gopher and a stuck in a fucking...
swimming pool dry cleaner. I don't know. Fucking yay.
That's just running. There's like this really horrible... There's like those regional sayings, this Texas one of like... It was Orson Scott Card, the guy that wrote Ender's Game, who was relatively intelligent despite being Mormon. But yeah, he was, I don't know, talking about that, about regional stuff of like, oh, I feel sadder than a gopher in a coon's mouth. Like, as in raccoon.
It's slicker than snot in a doorknob.
Yeah, just horrible fucking King of the Hilly shit like that. Anyway,
like the saying, I ain't seen you in a coon's age.
Right.
Like, I didn't realize that was racist.
I thought they meant
raccoons.
They didn't?
No, it's coon because they live a long time.
Do they?
Black people.
I wasn't even aware of that.
So goes the saying.
Armadillo, 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 armadillo. What's an armadillo, armadillo? What?
Apparently, their teeth were shaped like small columns with flat surfaces for grinding up plants.
Hmm. Oh, we saw another... we walked past another fossil expert. He's like, this guy... We've seen two of them so far, and they do seem sad because it seems like...
But no one's asking them for their expertise.
This is their whole reason to exist, is to explain about fossils. This guy actually had... He had a big round button that says fossil expert, and he's holding like a skeleton skull thing. It's like, ask me. Ask me how it works. No one asked.
No one cared.
Armadillo, 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 armadillo. What's an armadillo, armadillo? I used to have an armadillo when I was a youngster. When I was a youngster, I was very young. I caught the armadillo with my bare hands. Sitting at the side of the road, I had no plans. Mom and Pop didn't
want
me.
This is for all the girls out there who I've... spent time with for the past few years.
I don't got no paper cuts on the tip of my fingers, and if I had some paper cuts, I guess the pain would linger. Sit down on the bench and say, man, got hit so damn hard. Check the face guard, tighten up my skates, and I say, wait, twist my fate to debate with a teammate. And you don't have to be a sports fan to get a grip on a stick like a veteran, like Guy Lafleur, 99, Bobby Hull, Rocket Richard. Cicerelli went too far and got barred. When my blades hit the ice, I'm reciting, inviting the fighting while I'm a-gripping my Titan. And deacon and freaking and sneaking through the blue line, playing a role, paying toll across the goal line. Cause I'm a-leaving you in the aftermath, a psychopath on a raft with a paragraph. And I just laugh, keeping it inside. I take you for a ride when I slide on the ringside. I set trial, see you in court, defending my right to recite on a winter sport. In Sarajevo, Gaetan, Boucher, a man skating better than Yan cooking souffle. So I buckle my helmet, lace the micron, set my sights at the goal, turn the light on. I slap the puck, I got ability, step in the arena of hockey facility. I don't got no paper cuts on the tip of my fingers, and if I had some paper cuts, I guess the pain would linger. I don't got no paper cuts on the tip of my fingers, and if I had some paper cuts, I guess the pain would linger. I don't got no paper cuts on the tip of my fingers. If I had some paper cuts, I guess the pain would linger. I guess the pain would linger. I guess the pain would linger on the tip of my paper cuts. Walter's in the other room. Walter's in the other room. Walter's in the other room. Walter doesn't have paper cuts on the tip of his paper cuts. On the tip of my paper cuts. The piano! The piano! Look at... On the tip of my paper cuts. I don't got no paper cuts. I don't got no paper cuts. Paper cuts, paper cuts. On the tip of my paper cuts. Paper cuts, paper cuts. On the tip of my paper cuts. The piano! The piano! Look at it, it's over there again.
Measure the distance between you and there.
My foot on the floor is really getting saggy.
I think it's about to get from point A to point B.
I got a wool hat on, but I'm not gonna wear it.
I don't got no paper cuts.
I don't have a Marshall amplifier in my room.
We don't have any paper cuts.
My name is not Brenda or David.
His name is Brenda or David.
My name is not Brenda or David.
Look, we got four of them.
My name is not Brenda or David.
His hair is not sticking up like yours.
I work at the IGA! I work at the IGA stacking! I work at the IGA.
You never worked at the IGA.
I used to work landscaping.
Your brother worked at the IGA.
My brother worked at the IGA.
Yeah.
Let's do it again, though, just because...
No way, man, that's wicked!
That was like warm-up
no
stuff.
No way!
13 billion years ago, one of those bubbles grew and suddenly ballooned out in a gigantic explosion called the Big Bang. Space itself exploded in cosmic fire, giving birth to all the energy and matter in our universe.
So we just heard Maya Angelou explain how the universe started. The Big Bang. Which, as a theory, is a little dodgy at best, but I guess it's all we got.
What, the Big Bang theory is dodgy?
I think so.
Well, I like how she's like trying to like what scientists believe was before the Big Bang. They are just making that up. There's really no way, right? There's no... I'm sure they're like, hey, bubbles of space. That sounds good. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the scientific equivalent of like, well, who created God? Oh, no one created God. Well, like, you know, something did. You know, it doesn't really explain, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it's better.
Well, they know that there was a Big Bang. They know that this has happened because of the evidence that they've studied now.
Right.
What was before the Big Bang?
But so the Big Bang, that makes me think of Busta Rhymes because he has an album called The Big Bang. But I'm not really that into Busta Rhymes anymore. But I was. So let's play an old school Busta Rhymes song.
Which one?
Let's play Everybody Rise from ELE, the Extinction Level Event.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So was Busta Rhymes like really into science and stuff? Like one of these dudes that probably is really smart but just likes to get stoned and like read physics books?
I don't think so, because he was convinced that something was going to happen in the year 2000. All of his albums were all about that. There's only 6 years left.
Ooh, oh,
and
Busta.
Yeah, it sort of never happened, and his career peaked at that point.
Well, maybe that's what. Maybe he was. Did have a premonition. Maybe that was going to be the end of the world for him.
For him, yeah. Yeah, because it was right in 2000, I think, that The Anarchy came out, and that's the album nobody bought. This song I'm going to play has this really nice little piano sample that's just pretty and nice sounding. So, New York, Jersey, Cincinnati, Babu, Lima, Heda, Dubai, everybody rise! Today's my day of not remembering lyrics to songs.
Virginia, Atlanta, extinction level event.
I just learned from a young child that the dinosaurs lived before the Big Bang. I think that's interesting. I really didn't know that. I'm impressed. On the moon, I weigh 5.5 pounds. I'm a fat piece of shit. So Ian just came out of the washroom and informed me that she can totally see my cock in these pants. These pants that you bought, I might add.
Yeah, apparently I did well.
And they really are. They're very tight. I can't really wear long underwear underneath them. So I was going to play a song by Lovage. That's Dan the Automator and Mike Patton and the girl from The Avalanches, I think. Anyway, this is an early mix of one of the songs from some DJ mix thingy that Dan the Automator did. And that's just a good band anyway. The whole album is about how fun it is to put a cock in a vagina. Which I really can't argue.
No.
They were on
something. It's pretty fun.
With that.
And it's not just about that, though. It's about the fine art of seduction, too.
Right.
There's a few songs that are just, like, unabashedly sexy. And not in, like, a lame, like, girl, I'm gonna fuck you kind of sexy way. Like, in a, yes. What's your name? You very, very sexy. In a way that I think a lot of people wouldn't even know how to begin.
It is way better than like the other day when I was buying earphones in Circuit City or whatever. There's this song on the radio of just like, shorty, don't you know I treat you good, shorty. It's like,
like every song.
I hate music. I heard a Christmas song today, Mr. Kim's fucking, that was just like that R&B, the modern shit version of R&B, but it was like a Christmas song.
Oh.
I don't know, it was bad. Although I hate other traditional Christmas songs also, so I mean, I guess it can evolve. Anyway, here's some Lovage. Music to make love to your old lady by Ow.
Ow.
Slobber, baby, slobber. Music to barf on genitals, by.
Looks like you both could use a pet. And pull my purr all night long. I think a pussy is your best.
What it's all about. I like to watch. watching a movie about black holes, so I'm gonna play a song by Muse called Supermassive Black Hole.
You like Muse?
Uh-huh.
I love Muse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got some cool songs.
They do.
This is one of them.
They're not afraid to be dramatic, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's listen.
Biodiversity, I remembered a funny story.
Well, we walked past a giant stingray, and I remember I got humped by a stingray when I was about 14 or 15.
How did that happen?
We were down in the Caymans, and the Caymans, they have this place called Stingray City, where you go and you bring down, like, buckets of squid and these, like, giant fucking stingrays, bigger than that, like 3 or 4 feet across come, and it's like hundreds of them are around there. You know, there's some small ones too, but it's like they come and it's a tourist attraction, and you scuba dive and you feed them and they whatever. So at one point I was feeding one, and I don't remember, I think I was on my period, but I don't really remember why exactly it happened, but I was feeding the stingray, and it was so big, it swam up my front like thing was like bigger than my wingspan and started pinned me down to the ground and then just started like hump, like flapping on me.
Weird.
And the thing is huge and it's all muscle and it's, and it, once it's got some force behind it, I was just like, and I've got like big scuba gear on my back and all I can see is like a stingray flapping on my face. And he wouldn't let me up for like 2 or 3 minutes and I was starting to freak out a little.
Did anybody else notice?
Yeah, everyone, they're all, but you know, it's a giant stingray that hasn't had its stinger removed. Nobody wants to pull a Steve Irwin, though this was years before Steve Irwin, rest his, bless his heart, rest in peace. But giant fucking stingrays, nobody's gonna like pull it off me. So then I just swam away after a while and I was like, I feel used.
That's very odd.
Yeah. But then I just continued feeding them squid because they're gentle creatures.
So we're also by the whale room. I guess it's closed off for the day. But I don't know why I was like saying how, you know, I guess that whale didn't seem that big. Look at the fucking size of that thing. It's fucking giant.
It's a whale.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, for some reason I got it in my head that like, I was like, that's the biggest? It's not that big. That's pretty goddamn big.
That's pretty goddamn big.
It's like a couple of buses at least.
So was that guy that just walked by. He was pretty goddamn big.
Oh.
This dude.
Oh. And you're so...
so mean.
Delightfully mean. So, because of the giant whale, I don't know any stingray songs. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Seems like there must be something, but yeah. I'm going to play The Archaeologist by Winter Sleep, because it mentions a whale. And it's from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
There's whales there.
There's whaling.
There was, yeah.
Kill some whales. There's this band. You might have heard of them. They're called LCD Sound System.
I've heard the name, yeah.
Yeah, they're like a quintessential New York band. They're pretty fucking awesome. I don't know. They're just really good. And they're known for like electro dance pop. But I'm going to play you two songs that are not electro dance pop, that they're off their last two albums. So the first one is, or it's off their last album, excuse me, not last two albums, the last album, which I forget the name of it, but it was really good. This song, the first one is called Someone Great. And it's kind of slow and kind of sad, but it's a really good use of, like, you know, their electropop skills to make something meaningful.
Cool.
I mean, these guys are, like, known for throwing gigantic awesome parties in New York. But then this one, Someone Great, it's about... Well, I guess we'll listen to it first, and then we'll talk what it's about.
Okay.
But then the second song, I don't want to tell you the name of it, because I want you to just enjoy it, because it's a song that I very much dedicate to you. We'll be right back.
is one thing I like about doing these shows, is then thinking back and remembering things in my life. Like right now, maybe this is a small thing, but that's the first song I've ever listened to on an iPod Touch. So that's kind of fancy. But so.
And here I thought you were going to say something sweet about us.
Well, I was going to say also that we're in the museum, Natural History Museum, and we're in this little weird little pit thing, just like stairs or like little... Just little seats.
Amphitheater.
Little amphitheater, yeah. Underneath this, like, big globe that's, like, the Earth, and it, while it spins, it transforms into all the different, you know, the evolution of the Earth, how the continents formed and stuff. So that's pretty cool, too. It's just a neat setting.
Yeah.
And then as for the lyrics itself, it's always hard to say, I don't know, I try... It seems like if I want to, I can find personal meaning in almost anything. So I try not to lean too heavy on that side of things.
Yeah, but those lyrics, like, I actually kind of got in a discussion with a friend of mine, Bo, about what they meant. And he interpreted it as a relationship, about going to meet an ex-girlfriend. And, that's not what it is. I immediately interpreted it as somebody died. Somebody's, like, either his brother or his father, somebody, or his best friend, somebody close to him dying. And we'd go back and forth about it, about what it meant. You know, who's this someone great that's gone? Is it a romantic thing? Is it about breaking up with someone, or is it about losing someone? I thought it was losing someone that you had a fight with, you know, but that's your best friend. And then I read an interview with James, whatever his name is, the lead singer of LCD Sound System, and he was like, no, it's about his brother who died, like, a couple years ago, and going to see someone that's, like, looms so large in your memory, seeing them small and dead. But it's a really beautiful song.
Yeah, it was nice.
And it's striking, and it's, like, emotional... truth, and also that it comes from LCD Sound System of Daft Punk is playing at my house fame, you know?
I don't, but I'll take your word for it. But that's not normal for them.
No, it's not. They make, like, I don't want to say trashy, but trashy electro songs. Dance indie stuff, you know? And then they make that. And it's good, and it's still, I love that. I want that in my brain all the time.
And I was thinking, if, you know, you're saying of, like, the parties that they would throw in New York, that seems like the end of the night, all right, time for us to turn on the lights and clean up all the shit. And, you know, if you're not going to leave, you're going to help clean up some. Kind of finish things off.
And speaking of big parties in New York, here's the other song. Oh, and by the way, the name of the album is Sound of Silver. I looked at my iPod Touch, and it
fancy.
Told me that. So I am going to play the next song, which the name you're not allowed to know, because then you're gonna laugh and the joke will be over. So
will I get the joke though from the song?
Yes, you will get it immediately.
All right, I promise not to look.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. Like a rat in a cage, pulling minimum wage. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, you're safer, and you're wasting my time. Records all show you were filthy but fine. But they shuttered your stores when you opened the doors to the cops who were bored once they'd run out of crime. New York, you're perfect. Oh, please don't change a thing. Your mild billionaire mayor's now convinced he's a king. And so the boring I mean all disrespect. In the neighborhood bars I'd once dreamt I would drink. New York, I love you, but you're freaking me out. There's a ton of the twist, but we're fresh out of shout. Like a death in the hall that you hear through your wall. New York, I love you, but you're freaking me out. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. Like a death of the heart. Jesus, where do I start? But you're still